Welcome back into another Thursday edition of the Dapt on Draft podcast. And with it being Thursday, you know what that means. It's time to build a prospect. That's what we've been doing every Thursday from here on out. We're using the 2025 NFL draft prospects to build our ideal prospect. And today we're going to move into the offensive trenches and we're going to build an offensive tackle using this 2025 NFL draft class. We're going to try to use
We're going to build an offensive tackle using the 2025 class of NFL or NFL draft prospects who are probably guards.
Yes, we're going to use a bunch of guards to try to build a tackle. So, Dalton's here with me as always. This was a struggle to come up with. So, that should make for actually a really fun Frankenstein, I think, from both of us. Maybe a way more nuanced list than what we had for tight ends, which was pretty much the same Frankenstein there. So I'm excited to do this. I love these episodes. I think we got a really good content schedule down. But before we do that, Dalton, you made your little appearance there. We heard you, but we haven't heard from you yet. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing well. The weather's still really good. I mean, it's good here year round, so that's good. But today was the off day from the gym. We went cafe-ing in the morning. It's my favorite thing to do is walk to a cafe, get a pastry or a little cookie or something. It's my, everybody talks about eating 80-20 healthy versus like, you know, little cheats. And I'm more probably a 90-10 guy, but I love something sweet for breakfast every once in a while.
I love it. I love it. I have also been on this journey. Dalton has been a huge consultant for me on this journey as well. I'm probably more of a 75-25 guy, if I'm going to be completely honest. But I do love that as well. Some of my favorite work environments are coffee shops.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And we have some really good ones here.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Better than Columbus, Ohio, if I had to take a guess. So
yeah, but you guys have some damn good gyms in Columbus, Ohio. I know that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I know that for a fact. All right, let's build this offensive tackle out of guards.
Let's do it. Again, we're going to break it down into categories like we always do, and we're going to choose a different prospect for each of these categories. For offensive tackles, we couldn't come up with five, so we're doing six. Mm-hmm. We're doing six. Again, with offensive tackles, there is so much technique-wise that we could have done 12 categories if we really wanted to.
Yeah.
But we're trying to keep it listener-centric as well and not try to talk about the different hand techniques and the different sorts of short sets, 45 set, jump set, vertical set. You know, we're going to try to sum it down into more general categories. So the six general categories that we've come up with are pass pro, run blocking, length and strike power, mental processing, general athleticism, and flexibility. We did think that flexibility needed to be separated from general athleticism because flexibility is a huge part of playing the offensive tackle position, from being able to match bend, from not giving up your chest and having that knee bend to play with a good pad level, even as you're getting back in your sets. We did feel like that was necessary to keep separate. So that's what we're going to do here. But let's dive right into this. We're going to have a lot of nuance just because we talked off air and we have maybe the same for maybe one or two of these categories. So yeah. Very excited about this. But let's start with pass pro. Dalton, who do you have for pass pro?
Yeah, a huge wild card here. Somebody who I watched the other day, and I'm not going to slander this young man because he is definitely a good enough athlete and naturally strong enough to be a good football player at the NFL level. But just because you are an All-American selection, especially when you go to Clemson, I remember a seventh-round pick from a few years back who was an All-American, and everybody was wondering why he wasn't going higher in the draft, and it was because he wasn't a very good
NFL draft. Shout out Mitchell Hyatt. Wherever you are, Mitchell Hyatt.
Yeah, and like I said, not trying to slander him or Mitchell Hyatt. It just is what it is. But it is Blake Miller, the big right tackle for Clemson, who got absolutely bullied by Georgia in that first game of the year, run blocking. But as a pass protector, he did very good against some absolute freaks on that Georgia defensive line. He was a very good pass protector last year. I think he is technically sound. I think that the issues that I see with him in the run game curiously don't leak over to his pass pro ability. And a lot of it is like flexibility and the ability to stay off of the ground, which was a huge issue for him in the run game. But outstanding flexibility with him in pass pro. The hands are very good in pass pro as well. Very accurate. I think that he has adequate length in that position as well. And so when I'm building an offensive tackle, because I only have to use him for this very specific thing, yeah, it was easy for me to choose him for this one and use some other guys that are higher rated prospects for me at other spots.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm not, again, his full game is not there.
No.
And I think it'll limit his ceiling of where he's drafted. But again, pass pro is king in the NFL. At least it has been for the past few years. Maybe not so much now that running the football is back in style. But I think that's a solid choice. If we're talking about a Frankenstein offensive tackle and you have to use one trait, use it on him. So I had a really hard time coming up with this one because against consensus here, I think Dalton and I are both here against consensus of the top of this offensive tackle class. And I think Dane even came out and said it on the NFL or on the Athletic Football Show today as well.
It was yesterday, because we're recording ahead. But yes, we were actually having this conversation in my Discord channel about that, or not in the Discord channel. It was actually on Twitter. Our friend Nick Kendall brought it up to us on Twitter and said that Dane had said that I hadn't listened to the podcast yet, but we've been on Cam Williams. And part of that was because Dane brought up Cam Williams a long time ago as a name to watch. And me and Corey have been watching him.
Yes. Yes. But he also said on that podcast that the NFL isn't super high on Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks, which were summer scouting. Everybody loved Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks. OT1, OT2 for everybody in some sort of order. Except Dalton and I. Dalton and I both said this summer, like in our podcast going offensive tackles before the season, they're like, these guys are probably guards at the NFL level. We don't see super high-end tackle play with them, super high-end athleticism with them. Probably both of them pretty capped out body type-wise and kind of went against consensus. And it seems like the NFL is on the same page as that. But in terms of strictly pass pro, Kelvin Banks Jr. has given up one pressure all season. And Kelvin Banks Jr. played Michigan. Again, we're week five, but they did play Michigan, who has a couple of, probably three or four really good pass rushers with interior outsiders. So Gaming, Graham and Grant, Josiah Stewart, Derek Moore. Michigan's got some pass rushers. He's given up one pressure all season. Again, I have concerns about his overall athleticism. I have concerns about the depth of which he's asked to set at Texas. And does he have the foot speed to set vertically? Does he have the foot speed to set wide? I don't know. When you watch the right tackle across from him, it seems like the right tackle is moving on fast forward compared to the foot speed of the left tackle when you're watching Texas right now. And we'll talk a lot about that right tackle. We've already hinted at it because we both have him on our lists. And I have a hot take that I think by the end of the season, he might be consensus first tackle off the board is how good that I think that right tackle is and the tools and traits that he has. But again, back to Banks. If I'm choosing him just for pass pro and I can put somebody else's general athleticism in that pass pro and the spacing he plays with when he can anchor down, when he gets his hands on guys in pass pro, again, one pressure all season from Kelvin Banks in pass pro. And so I'm going to go there and use my other Frankenstein traits to build off of Kelvin Banks's pass pro.
There we go. Let's move on to the second trait here. And we're going to throw run blocking out there, first level, second level, all of it in one category. Mm-hmm. Corey, who is your guy for run blocking?
Yeah, so this guy's back. Again, he broke his leg 6 weeks into the season. Some of the most fun 2023 tape that I saw, even that game that he broke his leg against Iowa is probably the most fun tape I watched all summer. And that's Purdue's Marcus Bowe. This dude is athletic as it gets. Dude is unbelievably athletic. He can get in the space on screens. He can get upfield as a lead blocker on those boundary runs and those screens out wide. When he climbs to the second level, he is looking to bury linebackers. He's looking to bury safeties whenever he's climbing. And then again, I think his anchor is really strong because he's athletic. I could have used functional athleticism here, general athleticism here on Marcus Bowe as well from Purdue, but I'm going to go with run blocking. And it's just because I think his spacing is really good. His technique is really good when he's asked to climb. And then again, at the end of the day, he's a football player. Like, he is a mean football player who, if he can put you on the ground, he's going to put you on the ground. And that's the kind of mentality I want. Ultimately, I think he is also a guard, but as a guard in this class, I think he's one of the better ones, one of the better guard prospects as well when you're translating his tools inside from tackle. So I'm going to go with Marcus Bowe from Purdue for run blocking.
And I'm going to go with another guard for run blocking here. And it is Arizona's. And listen, I came into the season and I haven't watched a ton of him yet so far this year, because I want to see them just get deeper into conference play first. But it is Arizona offensive tackle Jonah Savaya Naya. I need it to be able to roll it off of my tongue. Savaya Naya. And mostly because I think that there's a ton of upside when it comes to his run blocking ability. I think that there is still a lot to be desired with him as a technician, but when it comes to explosiveness out of his stance, the ability to get to the second level, ability to coil and strike, I mean, this is a dude who can legitimately move people. And so for me, that's kind of what I look at when I'm looking at run blocking. The desire to finish as well is another thing for me. It's a little bit like Talese Fuaga for the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints are running left quite a bit this year because he is on the left side of that offensive line and really blowing people up. And I think that Savanaya is probably going to be a guard at the NFL level. It's pretty widely,
I think he could play tackle. I think he's got,
he's got the athleticism, but the problem is you have to look at, and that's the most difficult part about all of this and moving guys from tackle to guard. And we looked at it with somebody, and I can't think of the offensive tackle's name from Arizona last year.
Jordan Morgan,
who's playing guard for the Green Bay Packers right now. And it was because the weaknesses that he showed at the tackle level for me specifically was his ability to kind of anchor when he was facing guys in space. And so what do? Is you take that space away by moving him onto the interior. He's not going to have to deal with space unless he's dealing with linebackers. And then you still don't have as much space and room to work with because you are on the interior. There's just not as much space because you don't have to really worry about the outside track. Much more of a phone booth. And so for me, getting Jonah in that phone booth as a run blocker, when I see him devastate people on a very, very frequent basis, I love that. And so for me, he's my run blocker.
I love it. I would use him here, but I used him somewhere else in this for a lot of things that you mentioned in your description of him as a run blocker. I'm using him elsewhere. So, all right. And then moving on to length and strike power. I believe Dalton and I have the same guy for this one. And it's the guy that we've been raving about for most of the podcast at this point, and that I made a hot take that I think by the end of this draft cycle, we might be talking about this guy as the consensus top offensive tackle off the board. And that's Texas right tackle Cam Williams. Again, he is one of the only offensive tackles with an NFL offensive tackle body type. He's one of the only guys in this class with the NFL traits, the foot speed, the anchor strength, the combination of everything, the punch and length. Let's start there. I mean, I would bet this guy's arms are 35 inches. I would bet they're 35 inches. He just has unbelievable length. And I think he can do a better job at throwing a punch. But in terms of his hand timing and his strike timing, he's getting better every week. This is his first season as the full-time starter, and he's five games into the season. So, he's pretty stinking new as a starter, and he already looks like one of, if not the best offensive tackle in the nation, which is something when your teammate is an established starter and has been called the best offensive tackle in the nation for months leading up to the season. So again, the dude's just brute strength, natural strength. Again, he's 335 pounds. And it shows when he can connect with that man across from him. He's not reaching, he's not lunging as a pass protector. Again, his balance needs a little work in the run game, but but this dude's got it. This dude's got it in terms of length, and the technique stuff is getting better every game, which is what you want to see from a guy who is a first time starter. He's getting better every single game. And as we get deeper into SEC play, I mean, he's already played Michigan. Mississippi State's a Power Four school. I think Mississippi State's pretty bad. I mean, they got blown up by Toledo, so they're not a great Power Four school, but they are a Power Four school. So as he gets deeper into SEC play, he's going to have some tough battles coming up here down the stretch on their schedule. Because, again, they've got Bama. I'm sorry, they got Georgia. They have Oklahoma coming up here in the next 3 weeks. So they have an off week this week, but then yeah, you got Oklahoma, Georgia. Two straight weeks after that. So that'll be, and then the ends of season against Texas A&M, who has a first round projected offensive or edge rusher as well. So, but it's hard not to be excited about Cam Williams. And I could have used him at pass pro. I probably could have used him at functional athleticism at 6'5" and 3'5" if I wanted to, but I'm going to use him here for length and strike power.
You said they do have Texas A&M. They might have two first round.
Are you a Shamar Turner guy?
I think in a class like this, with his freaky athleticism, you might Jadeveon Clowney him a little bit. Just okay. He's a freak, you know? So yeah. That I think that might be where NFL teams stand on him. But when it comes to Cam Williams, one thing that I always find really interesting and something that I found incredibly interesting with him is when a guy loses at the first battle, mm-hmm. when a guy gets his hands into your chest, and then you're able to counter that by simply extending out.
Yeah.
Like the patience as a pass protector, I'd like to see from Cam Williams. It's something that I think that he does really well. And when you have the confidence in your athletic ability and anchoring ability, natural power and length to be able to counter the first punch mm-hmm. just by extending out one hand, that's pretty special. And I see him repeatedly see who is going up against him. And listen, he hasn't faced Michigan was a really good battle, but it was the first game of the year. I want to see what he looks like against Mikel Williams because he will be coming off of that side specifically very often. I want to see him go up against Nick when they play Texas A&M. These are big dudes who are freaky athletes that can match his freakness when it comes to NFL level athletes. And so, yes, I do believe that we are looking at somebody who could very well end up being the OT1. He has all of the tools in the world. His ability to just completely stonewall defenders who get that first punch on him is outrageous. Mm-hmm. That's natural strength, natural ability there. And when I see Williams get that long arm with his right arm into the chest of Cam Williams and Cam Williams stonewalls him, mm-hmm. that's when I'm going to start getting really hype about this young kid. So yeah, a little bit of a Marius Mims with him. I don't think that he's as freaky as Mims was as an athlete. Like Mims was like, could be a professional basketball player, 6'7", a freaky athlete. And I think that when you look at somebody like Williams, he's a little bit more of an offensive tackle than he is, you know, a power forward. A little bit more of a quintessential offensive tackle build, but he's everything that you want in an offensive tackle. Like Corey said, we could have used him in multiple spots here, but I think this is the one that really stood out the most when you're building a Frankenstein offensive tackle.
Yeah. I mean, this is the only time we're going to talk about him. So like one thing that is blowing me away again, is that exponential growth, but specifically this Mississippi State game, was his spacing in his eyes. Like, I don't know if you've mm-hmm. watched the Mississippi State game, but like in earlier games, he's just going after it. He's just trying to get out of it and hit the first guy that he sees. And as the season's going along, and especially this Mississippi State game, you can see him working outside or inside to out, identifying the end man on the line of scrimmage, anticipating stunts in games. Like he's growing and he's turning into a legitimate first round prospect. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. But let's move on to someone other than Cam Williams here and talk about mental processing. Dalton, I'll let you go ahead and talk about that first.
Yeah, mental processing is always a tough one because there's so many different aspects that go into it. And on top of the fact that, like, every run game is different. Pass pro is different. The way that it is set up, passing attacks are different. Protections are something that are not easy to understand if you are not an offensive line expert. So for me, just I'm not an offensive line expert. So when I look at mental processing, what I look at is how connected you are with your teammates around you and how often I see you making what looks like the correct decision in pass protection. You know, there are miscommunications from time to time, and that comes into a part of mental processing. Also, pre-snap penalties are another big one. And the one thing that I saw from Ariante Ursary, Minnesota offensive tackle, was a freakishly good connection with the left guard when it comes to passing off games. They just played Michigan. Michigan, as we talked about earlier in this episode, plays a lot of games with their defensive tackles, their defensive ends. They bring linebackers up as well as part of the pass rush. And he did a fantastic job in that Michigan game of passing things off, of being in the right position. And the connection, not just mentally with the guard, but the connection physically with the guard when it comes to passing off games and flawlessly, seamlessly doing that is something that I saw from him consistently in that Michigan game. And so for me, it goes to him here for mental processing.
Yeah. Ursary's a guy that I wasn't super high on coming into the season. And then his Iowa game was unbelievably dominant. And so he's back on my radar a little bit as a potential top 50 player. I know he was a lot of people's top 50 players. I had like an early day three grade on him coming into the season, just because I don't like tall tackles who play tall. Like you're just opening your chest up for leverage issues there. But that Iowa game is some of the most dominant 2024 tape of an offensive tackle in this class so far. So he deserves a shout. For my mental processing, I had to find a way to squeeze him in because, again, he was talked about as perhaps the best tackle in the class all summer long. But I don't think he has a dominant physical trait. And that's Will Campbell Jr. We've talked a lot about it. We talked about it over the summer in our preseason podcast or early fall, late summer, that Will Campbell's a pretty capped out prospect. Like his arms aren't getting any longer. His foot speed, he's not getting any more athletic. Which is why we both think he's going to benefit mightily from a kick inside to guard and probably be one of the better guards in the NFL for most of his career, at least a rock solid guard for most of his career. He is a very high floor player. And a lot of that has to do with his mental processing and his spacing and his ability to be in position where he needs to be. Again, it's not his fault. He doesn't have the athleticism or the arm length to match bend and speed around the outside corner. It's not his fault that sometimes when players stunt across or like come across his face, he doesn't have the twitch to change directions and match that. But I think he does a really good job of knowing his physical limitations and putting himself framing wise in the best position where he can make a play on the man across from him. A lot of that's mental processing. I have noticed a couple false starts from him this year, though, which is really rare, which is really weird. I mean, it happens to everybody, but like, that's pretty rare from him. But again, he's not oversetting. He's not undersetting. He has a really good awareness, especially playing with Jaden Daniels. I don't think people understand how hard it is to play offensive tackle with a mobile quarterback because you never know where they are in accordance with you and your pass blocking assignment. It's a huge issue because quarterbacks break the pocket all the time. And you might be setting as if you Daniels is in the pocket and he's 3 feet to your left and outrunning his own protection, his own pass pro. But I think he did a really good job. Him and Emory Jones both did a really good job of knowing. And that goes back to communication with Daniels. And Daniels having a really good ability to play in the pocket. And a lot of his scrambles came coming up through the middle of the pocket as well.
Yeah.
But that's not an easy thing to do to play offensive tackle with a mobile quarterback. Nussmeier as well, man. That dude is he's a drifter. He is a big time drifter. So he's either sliding to his left, sliding to his right, falling back in the pocket as well. So playing offensive tackle with quarterbacks like that is pretty difficult. But Will Campbell seems to be on the page with this is a 5-step drop. This is a 3-step drop. This is how deep I need to set on this before the ball is supposed to be coming out. And so that's what I appreciate about Will Campbell's game. And again, just finding a way to fit him into my Frankenstein, because again, a lot of these things that we're talking about are physically gifted or physical gifts related. And Will Campbell is just pretty capped out, but I do think he has that side of his game on lock, which makes him a very high floor player. So Will Campbell's who I'm going with here for my mental processing guy.
Yeah, and the next one we have is the exact opposite of that. We are going with athleticism here. Yeah. And athleticism was a tough one for me. And it ended up coming down to two guys that I watched yesterday for the first time, actually. One of them being a senior from Illinois, and the other one being your guy, Bal. And I ended up going with JC Davis instead of Bal, although I really, really do like Bal. The difference here is 20 pounds.
Yeah.
The way that JC Davis moves at 320 pounds compared to Bal at 300, and Bal, yes, coming off of an injury as well, so I think that he could even get a little bit more comfortable coming back from that as time moves on. But JC Davis, somebody who played against Abdul Carter this week, and you talked about Abdul Carter having 8 pressures and having a really good game. That good game came everywhere except for on that side of the field. Now, he did beat him inside a couple of times, and this is why we are building a Frankenstein, and we are not talking about how great of a prospect JC Davis is, because he did give up a pressure or two here and there. He gives up the inside track like really easily, which is annoying to watch. His jump set is way too aggressive. But the jump set, that explosiveness, also shows how athletic he is. Getting to the second level, moving in space is fantastic. When he has a half-man relationship, nobody is getting around the edge on him. He really fights hard not to give up the arc, and he does it with relative ease. But the other thing that I've noticed with him quite a lot is, even though he gets himself completely out of position, he needs to work on his hands. His feet are really
disastrous.
Yeah. His feet move around really well. He's able to mirror incredibly well. The athleticism is there. He's out of sync with the guard on that offense, so we weren't using him for mental processing. Like, there are issues. But when it comes to just his pure athleticism, his ease of movement at 320 pounds, JC Davis has it.
Yeah, I get it. I watched him over the summer and I was like, oh boy, this guy is a fun athlete. But he is a clunky offensive tackle. But I'm glad he transferred up. Get paid. Do your thing, JC. And this is his last year of eligibility. He's going to get drafted because he's going to test out of his mind. So, I went with the guy that you used for run blocking here. So I really wanted to use Jonah Sabai for run blocking. But another player who is just unbelievably explosive at probably 330. I mean, he's 330 probably. And the way he kicks out of his stance is unbelievable. Again, we talked about a lot over the summer, like almost to a fault a lot of the times because he oversets a ton. And I haven't watched his left tackle tape this year at Arizona so far. But he is explosive. He's physically gifted in terms of his punch and strike as well. And as a run blocker, that's why I used him as there. He's nasty. But for me, it's his change of direction. As much as it is his explosiveness, the dude is agile. You put that dude in spandex in Indianapolis and he is going to wow you in those on-field drills, because the dude is just unbelievably light-footed, unbelievably agile. He can mirror speed. He can knee bend with bend. So that's why I'm going with Jonah Sabai and I here for my general athleticism, is just because, like, I don't think you can poke a hole in his athleticism. He's explosiveness. He's agile. He's explosive. He's agile. He's flexible. He could have used him for flexibility if I wanted to, but it's pretty obvious who we're both using for that one, who's left on the table here. But I am going to use Jonah Sabai and I for my general athleticism.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just get it over with for flexibility. We talked about his flexibility for like 10 minutes when we did the offensive tackle episode. It's LSU right tackle Emory Jones. For all of the issues that we have in his game, they are not all wiped out, but there was a reason why we both had him as the offensive tackle one coming into the season, and it was because of that flexibility that he has. He's also a pretty good athlete in his own right, but the flexibility is truly special with him. Corey, I mean, do you have anything else that you want to say that we haven't talked about with him already when it comes to this?
I just think an underrated, and I don't know why, maybe this is just something we need to talk about more as a draft prospect or draft analyst community, but like, one of the more underrated things about being an offensive tackle is that you're not going to win every rep. So your ability to recover is like primo. It's way up there. Like, you have to be able to recover. And Emory Jones's ability to anchor out of some funky, funky positions is very Tyler Smith-esque. Like, I can remember Tyler Smith at Tulsa like almost being bent over backwards like a tree in a hurricane as he's just getting pile driven through the chest, and yet he's anchoring somehow double hit, like just speed to power through the chest, and his lower half isn't budging. And I think Emory Jones has some of that rare core strength, some of that rare flexibility, where like there are just some really funky places where he's getting beat, but yet he's not giving up the pocket because he's able to anchor and match bend or get his hips sunk. It doesn't make sense, some of the ways that he's anchoring. And so his flexibility is nutty. His core strength is nutty. And that's what's going to make him. He's not a technically refined, especially with his hands. I think his lower half is a lot cleaner this year than it was last year. But like, he's not a technically refined tackle yet. But those physical traits, especially his flexibility and ability to recover because of that just rare flexibility in some funky positions, is rare and it is special. And why he could still finish as OT1 in this class. Cam Williams is the total package that we can't stop raving about right now. But Emory Jones is a 3-year starter as a true junior and has some also rare traits as well. So for me, it's a 2-tackle class right now with those guys that we've talked about. But just the ability to recover, I think we need to talk about more, and especially in terms of Emory Jones.
And that's it. We have built our prospects. Let's go back over through the list here. For strike strength, I pick Cam Williams. For run blocking, I have Jonah Savianai. Pass protection, Clemson's Blake Miller. Athleticism, Illinois' J.C. Davis. Mental processing, Minnesota's Ariante Ursary. And Ariante is one of my favorite names. I love that name.
It is nice.
It flows right out off the tongue so nicely. And then flexibility is Emory Jones.
I love it. For me, pass pro, Kelvin Banks Jr. Run blocking, Marcus Bowe, Purdue. Length and strike power, Cam Williams, obviously. Mental processing, Will Campbell Jr. General athleticism, Jonas Savianai. And then flexibility, Emory Jones Jr. as well.
All right. If you guys are listening, let us know who built the better Frankenstein NFL draft prospect so we can move them to guard at the NFL level. But no, that's it. We will be back tomorrow, Friday episode, which means we are going to be previewing week 6 of the college football season. We will talk about the games. We will talk about the prospects. And always remember, he's Corey. I'm Dalton. And I love you. Goodbye.